The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Vasquez beaten away by Buffon, and then Ronaldo! Oh! What a goal by Cristiano Ronaldo!
Messi to the near post! Messi to the net!
Mamma mia! Lionel!
Ronel Kielko now. Here's a Honduran, and he'll whip it in back to the far post. Elise! Albert Elise, La Punta Rica! It's a Honduran connection!
This is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome into Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5, presented by the Daspit Law Firm. We are streaming ESPN975.com. Wow. A lot of soccer watch this weekend. I can't say it was some of the best in my case, but I'm not sure what you're thinking. If you watched the UEFA Nations League, well, you saw Germany and Portugal advance to a semi, and France and Spain, and there were some great matches over in Europe. We're going to get to everything that is CONCACAF Nations League, but a quick reminder here, I want to give a big shout out here. All our music here tonight, break music provided by Cactus Music. Get over there for your best in vinyl needs. I picked up the greatest hits of Jethro Tull this past weekend over there at Cactus Music. Okay, are you hurting like I am after the two-game set from the U.S. men's national team and losses to Panama and Canada? There is panic, there is worry, there is concern, there's pressure for the U.S. at the moment and Mauricio Pochettino and his squad. And the first thing that everyone is going to is the lack of fire, desire, representing the shirt and playing for the U.S. men's national team. Now, a lot of this commentary came from ex-players, and I don't think it's off base. It's healthy. It's good to hear them speaking out. And a lot of times, post-playing career is when you get some of the players speaking out a little bit more. All right, here's a sample from Landon Donovan, the legendary U.S. men's national team. He said, I'm so sick of hearing how talented this group of players is and all the amazing clubs they play for. If you aren't going to show up and actually give a blank about playing for your national team, decline the invite. Talent is great. Pride is better. Can't deny that. I think that's motivation for the group of national team members currently coming from Landon Donovan. But I will remind you that, remember this, Landon Donovan was criticized during differing time periods of his career, very similar to what's going on with Christian Pulisic now, for not being aggressive enough or intense enough. And many criticized him for not playing longer in Europe and taking on the challenge of Europe for the so-called comfort of remaining in MLS, and he's historically the face of MLS, I would say. I'm just saying. So your top player is going to get criticized. And I would also say to those saying there's not enough quote-unquote dogs, tough guys on this team, it's a different world of professional soccer now, and it's even changed since Landon played, I think. But he had more tough guys surrounding him on those versions of the national team. Clint Dempsey, Michael Bradley. I'll even go to guys like Jaden Merritt, Oguchi Onyewu. Then we can even go back further for those earlier U.S. national teams, which the 94 team and those guys, they didn't get any respect. You don't think Tab Ramos was competitive? Marcelo Balboa? Say what you want about Alexi Lalas. You may or may not like him. He was a fighter. He was a competitor. Brian McBride? Yeah. So I think this all has to be in context, but we're taking the micro look right now. And, yeah, I think everybody should be very, very concerned about where the national team is now. Now, that said, this is another reason why it's a big concern, because – you don't get a lot of competitive games as being a host nation. I think you're going to get three international windows and a Gold Cup, and then maybe something right before the World Cup. So that's the other concern is, you know, you'll get the Gold Cup this summer. We have the final here in Houston. You have three international windows. You got some upcoming matches against Switzerland and Turkey. Also factor in here, you're missing two key players. One of them who is a question mark with health, that's Sergiño Dest, but he is back now. And then the other one is, I think arguably, and you might say he could be your captain, that is Anthony Robinson of Fulham, who is one of the best left backs in the Premier League. I do think Mauricio Pochettino with Christian Pulisic has challenged him by trying to make him the captain and elevating him. I'm not sure this is his job, but you have to try. He is definitely our creative fulcrum. But, man, he was ghost-like in these two games. And the quality of the delivery from him and the team, not good. You know, when you see Panama fighting out there, and I get it, their players, a lot of them play in their own country, fighting the way they do, you want to see that out of a U.S. That has to be a precursor to everything. I mean, that's, you know, it's like when you hear coaches say, oh, we really got to bring the fight. Well, you know, you almost say that's inherent every game, isn't it? Yet the athlete has a hard time sometimes summoning that. And there's a whole bunch of reasons for that, and I'll leave that to the sports psychologists. But the generation now maybe is a little bit different. But the ex-player commentary ran the emotion of Gamet, and that emotion is certainly good. I don't think there's anything wrong with it. I think it's great. Thierry Henry said this, Christian Pulisic is a good player, very good player, and for the first time is playing week in and week out and delivering in a good team in Europe. But you also have to stop that narrative that maybe he's not that type of leader. Stop. Don't force him to be that. He is a technical leader. Okay, technical leader. Maybe not an emotional leader. Yet, why would you deny Pochettino trying to give him the captain's armband, play him a little bit more central, get him more involved in the game to see if you can bring that out of him? Nothing wrong with that. And then Henri went on to say, well, is he the enforcer type of leader? Well, of course he's not. I mean, to compare him to Gennaro Gattuso, you know, that's not the kind of leader he's going to be. And then Henri went on. And by the way, I like Henri's commentary for the most part. Yeah, I like it. I like hearing from him based on where he's been at the game. He then said, well, Gattuso wasn't Andrea Pirlo. Pirlo wasn't Gattuso, if you know what I mean. That doesn't mean he's not the best in the team as a player. Right. I think we get that. I think we get that Mauricio Pochettino is trying to push a few buttons with Christian Pulisic. And, of course, Pulisic's going to be singled out because of the hype. He's having a great season for Milan. He's in a very tough environment in the Serie A at Milan, one of the great clubs in the world. He's been at Dortmund. He's been at Chelsea. He's had ups and downs. But when you're hyped and you're Captain America and all that stuff, much like Landon Donovan, this is what happens. Criticism comes with it. And he's having an exceptional season in Europe. Now it has to translate back to the national team every time he appears. And that's the expectation of the fan, and that's the expectation of the media. He was a non-factor in these two games. You can ask why, but he's our best creator and is pivotal. He represents the generation of players that now play at big clubs in Europe in a very differing era of football. Pulisic said after the game, I wasn't seeing as much of the ball as I'd like. I guess the only thing I would say to that was overall the U.S. didn't play well, but did he do enough in a free roll to create angles, to get more of the ball? Did he pull out wide? I didn't think so. I didn't think he was mobile enough in that sort of free role under Mauricio Pochettino. Pochettino's still assessing a lot of people. Big winner was Diego Luna against Canada. Got an assist, brought some edge. We need that. But again, there's been a lot of talk about the lack of fight. And in these two games, the U.S. was flat. And they do have real issues in certain areas of the team. Goalkeeper is an issue if he's not playing. And I think the reason everybody got up, oh, Matt Turner's playing again. Well, I think Zach Steffen apparently was ill. Now, I don't know if Zach Steffen was ill in the first game. Because if he was, that may be why Matt Turner got the start. And Pochettino was criticized by LD, Landon Donovan, for starting Turner. But I don't know if Steffen was injured at that point or what, and what the thinking is. But without Anthony Robinson and then hopefully a healthy Sergiño Dest, those two guys bring a lot more to the team that, you need when it comes to having, I think, the ball a little bit. This game, the U.S. and Mauricio Pochettino put out a differing lineup. Max Arfston of Columbus, Carter Vickers, and Mark McKenzie. You know, speaking of that big dog mentality, I don't really see an intimidator in the center back position for the U.S. Just don't see it. I see good players. Joe Scally was on the right. They brought in Marlon Fossey. Adams and McKinney, you know, you're going to have to get the best out of them like you did in the last World Cup. Diego Luna, Weah, Pulisic, and then Adjiman, who got the goal. But the box defending for the U.S. was, I thought, very poor against Canada in this game. Jesse Marsh gets the win. I don't know if it was staged getting sent off like that, but I don't know what the heck he was complaining about. There was no penalty. The guy slipped. But there was a big rah-rah and cameras following him into the locker room. But I will say Jesse Marsh will get his team up for games and fighting. And that's what I think Canada definitely did. And that's a big win for them. So we'll see what happens in the Gold Cup. But a lot of challenges for the U.S. right now, and there's a lot more we could probably talk about here tonight, but I have to make sure that I talk about Mexico, because Mexico now is, they are the kings of CONCACAF under Bosco Aguirre. Now, there was a lot of people, oh, we're bringing Aguirre back, Rafa Márquez, how can, well, right now Bosco Aguirre looks very good. He's obviously very experienced. Mexico's the kings of CONCACAF, winning the final over Panama. Raul Jimenez is the toast of CONCACAF now. He's got the Mexican fan excited because he's back to full health. But Aguirre is playing with two center forwards, which I love. It does make Mexico a little bit more of a direct team. But with Raul Jimenez and Santiago Jimenez, it's kind of rare with two strikers, right? Now, remember, Raul Jimenez had the serious head injury in 2020. Like anybody who has an injury like that, you wonder if they're ever going to make it back as a player. Your first concern is simply about their health. But are they going to make it back as a player? Many believed he would not make it back. I was one of those. I didn't not root that he wasn't going to be strong enough to come back, but I was worried, let's just say that, because he's an exceptional striker. He is a story. He plays at Fulham. But for me, it's a different Mexico now. Yeah, they're capable of that great possession that controls games. But now with these two strikers, they play a bit more direct. So whether it's a 5-3-2, a 4-4-2, whatever you want to say, there were two strikers out there. And it occupies defenders. And I think everybody's got to consider this in an era where everybody wants to play with a single striker and inverted and narrow. It almost seems at times very trendy, but it's kind of cool to see. I don't know. It's like a rare bird seeing two strikers out there that are, you know, typical center forwards. It's actually pretty cool. So we'll see. But they proved it in this CONCACAF Nations League. And now will it translate to a World Cup? So it's a lot of short-term looks. Right now, the thumbs up is to Mexico. I think the thumbs up to Panama. I didn't think they were going to beat Mexico. They know who they are. The handball to provide the game winner for Raul Jimenez was one of the most bizarre plays I've ever seen. No idea what was going on there with the Panamanian defender. I'm trying to remember who it was, but just absolutely bizarre. Just sticks his hands out. He didn't know what was behind him, but he stuck his hand out and, you know, just concedes a penalty late in the match. So I don't know. It was pretty strange. There are people with conspiracy theories about that penalty that was conceded by Panama for Mexico to win this So there it is. The U.S. has got a lot of work to do. We're going to see sort of what's going to happen here. But again, as a host nation, you don't have the grueling qualification process. A couple of quick notes here before we go to break. When we come back, it'll be all Dynamo talk. And then later on in the show, I do want to remind you, we got a lot of great podcasters out there. Now, some are a lot better than others. Some just state the obvious and they're buddies and they're hanging out. And you get a lot of good stuff from those guys. But sometimes there's not really good stuff. And it's just about putting out the obvious. But there are a lot of great podcasters out there doing good work. And we got one of them tonight on the show in the final segment, Dynamo Next segment. 26,575 came out for the Oakland Roots in the LA Coliseum. A 2-1 loss to San Antonio FC. How about that? San Antonio FC in the USL Championship spoiled the party for 26,000 in the Oakland Roots. Justin Rasmussen, if you haven't seen this, it's an incredible overhead bicycle kick for the Oakland Roots to tie it up. Alex Grieve and Luke Hackinson scored the goals for Carlos Llamosa, the head coach of the Oakland Roots. The USL is doing some interesting stuff. We got Pro and Rel coming up, which is something that's going to be really interesting to see how it works. Igor Tudor is going to replace Thiago Motta as a coach at Juventus. He's a former player, as you know, 98 to 2007, won 5 trophies. Juventus is 5th in the Serie A. He'll take the team the rest of the season, but the old lady is struggling. You probably don't know who the leading goal scorer is in the Serie A. It's Matteo Retegui. He's got 22. Kind of comes late as a goal scorer. He was born in Argentina, now represents Italy internationally. And he is the leading scorer in the league. Christian Pulisic is around 10th with 9 goals, but also has 6 assists to go along with that. All right, let's take a break. It's the Best in Soccer Talk, self-proclaimed here on ESPN 97.5. It's Soccer Matters, presented by the Daspit Law Firm. A couple of quick hits here, LamontBrands.com. Get your T-shirts there. You need printing needs. It's LamontBrands.com. DanishInspiration.com. The best in modern contemporary furniture, DanishInspirations.com. Get over there. Hugh O'Connor's Pub, I-10 in the Marquee Entertainment Center, great for soccer watching. Also, Dinkin Street in West University. And, of course, we got our great new sponsor in Senate Avenue Brewing. And we're going to be every second Tuesday of the month doing a live show out there, giving tickets out and more. It's Soccer Matters ESPN 97.5. Go get some great Greek and American food. Nico Nico's Greek and American Cafe. We're back with more after this.
You're listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5, presented by the legendary Daspit Law Firm. DaspitLaw.com, 713-CALL-NOW. You get in a car, boat, motorcycle accident. You need the services of the best in personal injury attorneys. It is a Daspit Law Firm. They are bringing you radio coverage of the game that you love. DaspitLaw.com. All right, World Cup 2026 is getting closer and closer, less than 500 days, and we will have 7 matches here in Houston. Just let that sink in a little bit. All right, Senate Avenue Brew Pub is going to be a place you're going to want to watch World Cup 2026, but we got a lot of watching before that. We just did our live Soccer Matters ESPN 97.5 show there. We'll do them every second Tuesday of the month. This is Senate Avenue Brewing. And it is marked on your calendars every second Tuesday of the month. We're going to have Dynamo players there. Live guests are going to show up. We're going to push and really bring like-minded individuals together. And you love craft beer. This is the place to go. It's fresh. It's amazing beer that's brewed in-house. My favorite, the Copper Ale. Senate Avenue Brewery is open 7 days of the week in Jersey Village. The beer they brew is small batch. It's only available in their tap room. It's award-winning. They've won two U.S. Open Beer Championship medals and three Texas Craft Brewers Cup medal wins. Yeah, we like winners. We like winners who make really, really good beer. The food at Senate Avenue Brewery is upscale American Grill. They've got a beluga bowl, that beef bowl that looks incredibly healthy for those runners and everybody else who's biking and into the fitness. But they've got healthy burgers, wings, pizza, and more. Daily specials includes a Thursday steak and Stein night, Friday fish and chips. I like looking at that whole area with those beautiful silver vats where they brew the beer. You may have seen me shoot the promo for Soccer Matters ESPN 97.5 there for the last show. Amazing dog-friendly patio as well. It's family-friendly. Seven monitors in the tap room for watching soccer and sports. It will be a go-to World Cup in 2026 for this side of the town. Remember, not everybody's going to want to go downtown. Senate Ave, you take 290 North if you're coming from the Galleria downtown, the Heights where I am. Exit right near Beltway 8. On Senate Avenue, that's the exit, Senate Avenue exit, and then you'll see just down on your right-hand side, Senate Avenue Brewery. Get there. Nico's Greek and American Cafe reminds you that World Cup 2026 is right around the corner. So get over to one of their great locations, Lamb Shanks, Souvlaki, Gyro, all the great hummus, all the great Mediterranean food that keeps those Greeks and their skin looking good. It's Nico's Greek and American Cafe. It's an institution in Houston. They remind you that World Cup 2026 is right around the corner. They got three locations, the newest in the Woodlands. You got Beltway 8 and I-10. They got bakeries in these places. It's incredible. And then you've got the original, which is my favorite, down in Montrose. All right, let's take a dive on the Dynamo at Seattle. Now, both the teams coming into this game, and this was the Late Late Show if you stayed up to watch it on Apple TV. Both teams coming into this were missing players. Now, let's put this in the context of the Dynamo are still trying to get signings across the line. They just got one in Dwayne Holmes from Preston North End. The Dynamo were without midfielder Jack McGlynn. Eric Sviatchenko is not a starter yet, still trying to find his fitness. He did come on in this game. But the Dynamo were also missing Brooklyn Reigns. This might have been a night where Brooklyn Reigns got opportunity, but he was called into a youth national team. But a pattern has clearly been presented here with the Dynamo when it comes to home and away. At home, the Dynamo were more open. They probably fear the onus to be more open at home because of their fans. On the road, it's defend, team shape, look for an opportunity here or there, and try and sneak a win. Hence, they haven't had much of any attack on the road, but they have two clean sheets and they have two road points. And the road was the better place for the Dynamo last year. But that's because, in my opinion, everybody knows exactly what's going on. It's a very clearly defined way of playing and trying to control a game, sitting back and defending in a lower block, and then taking a risk here or there. Now, they don't have a lot of vertical threats, so that's hurt. The one time it looked like the Dynamo may get in, Kowalczyk got chased down by Yamar, and his touch went long, and the whole attack went out the window. That might change if you get Lawrence Anali back when you're on the road, because there's a real vertical threat, I think. But that's the pattern. So at home, the Dynamo will be more open. Now, Seattle arguably was missing more. Let's just remind ourselves what Seattle was missing. Jordan Morris, Nuhu away with Cameroon, Paul Arriola, Pedro de la Vega, all out. Dynamo started with Jimmy Maurer in goal. Escobar on the left, Dorsey on the right, Bartlow, Awadesu, Artur, Urso, Bassi, Kowalczyk, Ladero, and Ponce. Injuries to Jimmy Maurer and Ethan Bartlow complicated things on the night, which makes the point even more important. Escobar moved to center back with Daniel Starris coming on at left back. And then we saw the debut of, in MLS, of Blake Gillingham, the Dynamo third string goalkeeper who came on after Maurer got injured. I think it was like the 67th maybe or 62nd. So Blake Gillingham becomes a story. Did what he did to do to make saves. I loved his enthusiastic confidence. I think that spread to his teammates. He's clearly going to be the number one based on the health of Jimmy Maurer. So if you're the former Dynamo goalkeeper Xavier Valdez in Nashville, you might be thinking, that might have been my opportunity in Houston. We heard a lot of noise about Xavier Valdez, And then, I don't know, he was clandestinely slipped away during the night. I don't know what happened there. But great for Gillingham. Incidentally, Gillingham comes from a Creighton program in the Midwest whose coach is a former Houston area youth player. Again, Houston soccer community here. Johnny Torres. He grew up playing here in the Houston area, went on to play at Creighton, played in Major League Soccer. In college at Creighton, he won the Herman Award, which is equivalent to the Heisman Trophy in American college football. So back to the game. Seattle had the better chances, no question, clearly on this night. The Dynamo only mustered one shot on goal. It was not dangerous. The micro look is that this is a draw. But the struggle in the attack, no doubt, continues. Again, I talk about the vertical threat, which isn't there. Ezequiel Ponce is not a vertical threat. The Dynamo defended, again, deep. They applied the press at times to maybe catch Seattle snoozing a little bit or catch them in a moment where their concentration wasn't that good. But the few times the Dynamo maybe broke out, because I don't even feel like it's 100% confident in their breakouts with an overcommitted Seattle, it failed due to a bad ball, an errant touch, whatever. So a good point, yes, but the pink elephant is still in the room, and the team does not have really a defined attack outside of Griffin Dorsey wide. And now Nico Ladero trying to pull off a play. By the way, Nico Ladero got honored by Seattle. Love that. That's how you build a soccer culture. You honor your former players, especially one so fresh after helping them win MLS Cups. But I thought that was a really wonderful moment. That's how you build a culture. These small things and recognitions go a long way. An organization in the Seattle Sounders looks great for doing that for an opposing player coming in. Think of playing on the road deeper, defending again with Lawrence Anali back as a vertical threat. Because opponents would have to honor that a little bit more, no question. I don't think they're scared right now of the Dynamo getting in behind him. Right? The Dynamo open up playing-wise more at home. They'll take a little bit more risk, although they'll still stay narrow. But they'll try to push the game more at home. I think we've seen that. But that's resulted in three losses. You get on the road, it's a focus on staying compact, tighter, take less risk. Even when there might be times to break out vertically, put their foot on the ball, they go back or sideways. At home, you get more shots from the Dynamo. But all three were losses. Ezequiel Ponce has not had a shot on the road yet. He didn't have one against Seattle. He didn't have one against Columbus. Against Real Salt Lake, he had four. Against Inter Miami, he had one. Against FC Dallas, three. I'm just throwing some data out here because we're all data-oriented. But if we're watching the games, we're realizing he doesn't get a lot of chances. Junior Urso got his first start from Orlando. Obafemi Awadesu, I think's athleticism is needed, and he continues to polish his game. I thought he did well. This is another good experience for him. But here's the thing. When you have a team that's still looking for signings, has injuries, man, this is real opportunity for young guys like Blake Gillingham, like Obafemi Awadesu. And having been a rookie myself and gotten an opportunity, I love this, and I love seeing guys take advantage of it. And I like these two young guys. I think it's excellent. But both will have to continue to polish their game. But this is a memorable moment for Blake Gillingham. It's another memorable moment for Obafemi Awadesu. And I like his composure as well out of Penn State and the Dynamo second team. Artur stands out less now without Hector and Coco. I think that's obvious. I think that's everybody. Bossy doesn't stand out as much. Nico Ladero, that's an interesting one on the road. Now, he's a true pro. I mean, this guy, Ajax, World Cups, you know, speaking of a World Cup coming to Houston. But the question is, do you start him on the road or do you bring him off the bench on the road? Because remember this game in Seattle that we just watched this past weekend. When the Dynamo had a spell in the second half of putting pressure on Seattle, he was already subbed out of the game around the 60th minute. So for me, and this is just me, and listen, this is why we do this opinion. We question things. It's okay. There's nothing wrong with it. It's easy after the fact. But it's two games now where he started with a deeper defending team on the road. when the Dynamo go to apply a little pressure in the second half, he's not on the field. So I say, if you're going to defend deep, save him for later in the match, because he's a match winner. You want him near the opponent's goal. And the few times he touched the ball in the first half when the Dynamo were near the Seattle goal, it's positive. The guy doesn't give the wall away. Again, easy to say from the outside. All right, next up, you got the Portland Timbers with the legendary coach. I don't know if he's a legendary coach, but he's a name that everybody knows, Phil Neville. They won 3-0 on the road at Colorado. They got an own goal. They got a goal from their right back, Anthony, and they got a goal from Kevin Kelsey. Now, Kevin Kelsey's interesting. They acquired him from Shakhtar Donetsk in the Ukraine. Portland are 2-2-1, eighth in the West, 1-1-1 at home. Now, the Dynamo need a win badly, a win for mentality, a win. I mean, this could be six games without a win if you don't get a result in Portland. And I know 18 of 30 make the playoffs, but and there's time to turn around, of course. You know, we know all that. This is a playoff system. We love it when it gets to playoff time. But every game becomes bigger when you don't get a win. It's 2 points in five games, and the parity keeps everyone in it, even when you haven't won a game. Dynamo haven't won a game. LA Galaxy, by the way, defending MLS Cup champions, haven't won an MLS game yet. Sporting Kansas City, Peter Vermes, have not won a MLS game. Toronto, spiraling downward under Robin Fraser, not winning a game yet. New England, Caleb Porter. And I got something for you on New England here in a second, but no wins. Montreal, no wins. Five games. Now, you can say, well, it's a long season. I guarantee you, every one of these coaches, from Ben on down to, they don't like these situations at all. They can present not panicking. They're not in a good place here. There's real concern, as there should be. I don't know how much is coming from the Dynamo fan base. Now, I listened to a bit from Landon Donovan and Tim Howard on their podcast. It was a snippet that came out. So you always have to be careful because people are just putting snippets out, but it came out from them. And they were criticizing the attendance at Foxborough Stadium in the New England Revolution, which I found interesting. And there's a couple things. There is a yin and yang of healthy criticism. Now, there's an award in MLS named after the legendary Landon Donovan, one of the greatest players in U.S. soccer history, one of my favorites. And then Tim Howard is a Dynamo owner now. Incredible, great career in England. Obviously, a groundbreaker as one of our great goalkeepers, along with the likes of Casey Keller, Brad Friedel, Tony Miola. But he's a Dynamo owner, and we know our attendance and relevancy is not very great. So I found it interesting that he was being critical of New England. I'm not sure if Landon and Tim know or just didn't want to say this, but I have to believe they know this, but I don't know. Maybe they don't. But the reason New England Revolution play at Foxborough Stadium out in the hinterlands is very, very simple. The adjacent Patriot Place, which is an outdoor mall, restaurants, has a hotel attached to it. I don't know if the team still stay there. They may. We used to stay there when we did broadcasts. Anyway, all these places, these restaurants, these stores, the hotel is within walking distance of Foxborough Stadium. It is owned by Robert Kraft, the owner of Foxborough Stadium and the New England Revolution. It's good business. He wants people walking into those stores and shops an additional 20-plus times with MLS content. He wants to keep his tenants happy. He wants to help them make money. His tenants, he wants to have more business and patronage. The notion that a stadium is going to be built in downtown Boston and every few years we hear this plans, for me, it's fictitious. I'm sorry. But again, who am I to criticize a man, Robert Kraft, that got the league up and going in 1996? But people are educated, and people can see how a centralized league works. Maybe the consequence is less in regular season, but we sure love the playoffs, me included. That says it's a long time to wait. Sometimes the consequence during the regular season has us drift away a little bit. And again, that's the yin and yang of trying to put together and make the regular season more consequential. No question about it. Promotion and relegation is a system in which teams are promoted to a higher division or relegated to a lower division based on their performance during the season. The USL is introducing this structure. They're going to have a three-tier professional pathway following the launch of USL Division One, and they're going to try to push this envelope. Let's see how this works with Pro Rel in USL. And you can sit out there and boo-bird it all you want, but hey, somebody's trying something. I like that. Trying to execute it and offer something up other than just talking about it, that creates a reaction, an adjustment. Maybe the whole professional structure of the game in this country can learn from that, I assume. It's like a laboratory test. I got nothing against pushing the boundaries of competition because I think the game has gotten overly commercial. All right, now, this summer, the Gold Cup final for the first time ever will be in Houston, Texas. First time ever. This is a huge achievement. This could very well be Mexico and Raul and Santiago Jimenez. Who knows? Could be the U.S. It could be Canada. It could be Mexico. Who knows? But that's going to be a happening. LSSC.net, Lone Star Sports and Entertainment. Go over there. Sign up for the emails. Get the instant access. Get to the front of the line for buying tickets. You can also go over there. If you want to do an entire outing, you can do an entire outing and get a suite. Get all that first-class premier treatment. It's LSSE.net. Great supporters of Soccer Matters here on ESPN 97.5, presented by the Daspit Law Firm. But get over to LSSE.net and get to the front of the line when it comes to tickets, suites, all of that. Great for entertainment. It will be a happening. It'll be a final. And to get a final here in Houston is pretty special. I'm looking that match in July. All right, well, let's take a break. More to come here as we continue on. You know, podcasters, very, very important. There's a lot of really good ones. Not so much. But there's some really, really good ones, and they're driving the game in the United States. We talk to one of the good ones next on Soccer Matters ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. Big shout out here to our presenting sponsors, John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. It's DaspitLaw.com. John and his firm, personal injury attorneys, they're getting this soccer talk on the air. So a big, big thank you to the Daspit Law Firm. Get in a car, boat, motorcycle accident, you need the best. It's DaspitLaw.com, 713. Call now. He is the founding member of Founding Football. It is a great podcast. Kent Malmoros joins us now. Kent, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Glenn, thanks for having me. Excited to talk to you again.
All right. A lot of tradition and a lot of history in your podcast. I first off, because the podcast culture is so important to our game in this country, just how the concept developed for you and how the love of doing this developed for you?
It's a great question and kind of a multi-part story. So my background is one-time journalist, did some broadcasting as well, got out of the business when it was changing, went into corporate America, but always loved sports storytelling and loved the history of all the sports I followed as a traditional kind of American sports fan. And then my daughter began playing the game 15 years ago now, and I went from casual fan to fanatic and started asking the question, why? Why hadn't we become more of a soccer nation more quickly? And more importantly, how did we get to the point where we almost inarguably are now, even though it looks different here? And I decided it was a story that needed to be told moment by moment. How have little incremental evolutions of soccer in America gotten us to this point? And really, that was the birth of the idea. Said, it's a great way to tell some sports stories. Let's dive right in. And really has become something much more than I even expected.
Game 15 years ago at the professional level was very different at every level, really.
Yeah.
What's the biggest changes you see and in your mind?
Wow, that's such a good question. And I think the whole exploration of the show, which is it's a bunch of different changes that have all added up into just a completely different landscape. So clearly we've had success with our top flight domestic professional leagues, MLS, you know, finally stuck. And I say finally, as compared to the North American Soccer League, NWSL stuck as compared to WPS and WSA. Having a consistent professional culture here has changed the way people see the sport. But more than that, the continued evolution of the women's game has been massive, right? There's no question that the U.S. Women's National Team has had a unique ability to create community, leverage modern media, social media, create a voice that people can relate to. And I think the other piece of it, and of course, hardcore MLS fans won't like hearing this, is the Premier League and its relationship with NBC has changed the visibility of the sport at the highest level overall. You pile that all in, and I'm very typical in that I fell in love with the sport as a dad of a soccer girl. I'm an Arsenal fan. I'm a Philadelphia Union fan. I'm a U.S. Women's National Team fan, and that's kind of okay here.
All right, so founding football, you obviously love the storytelling aspect of it. If someone were to tune into your podcast, tell me what they're going to hear.
They're going to hear a long-form show. So I, to your point about podcast culture, I think there is a need for more storytelling that's research and history-based. Everything is, not everything, many shows are headline-based, they are fan-based, people open a mic and talk about their favorite team. And that's great, but it's also very crowded. And I think, and you and I have talked about this, people don't know the rich history of soccer in this country. They think that it's kind of light, and that's just not true. And so what they'll hear is an exploration, a deep exploration of 52 moments that I believe have helped grow the game, where I do narrated research, lots of it, and I really dig into the context around something that happened, like the 99 World Cup, great example. How did we get there? What was the history of leading up to the bid? How did they consider marketing it? And then I'll add an interview in that case with Marla Messing, who led that committee and was also involved in the 94 World Cup bid. So she had an experience of understanding how to organize events at the global scale in this country. And then also the nuances of what was different about the grassroots effort to market a Women's World Cup and the bet they made to go into the biggest stadiums in this country, which, make no mistake, was a massive, massive bet. And then I'll close it out with some research. Every single chapter is what I call it that I explore has a second episode that's interview only with someone related to that moment. So you'll get a Becky Sauerbrunn in the 2015 World Cup episode, as well as Heather O'Reilly. And I had you on to talk about it because you broadcast those games. So it's a balance of history meets interview with the people that have really been part of the history of U.S. soccer.
We're talking to founding football's Kent Malmarosa. You can find his great podcast work at foundingfootball.com. Again, that's foundingfootball.com. Yeah, I think back to the mid-80s playing against the U.S. national team here with my club team, the Houston Dynamos, and it's, I don't know, 85 or 86. There's no scouting network really extensively for the U.S. national team. We're playing them in front of 4,000 people in a high school stadium. And now when I look and see Christian Pulisic tearing Europe up with Milan and Tyler Adams at Bournemouth. It's almost like I have to pinch myself, you know, because it's even prideful for a guy like me to see American players performing on that stage, which was truly an afterthought in my time period.
And we think that those things have happened almost just accidentally, or we get frustrated with the youth system, which is entirely fair. And I cover that throughout the course of the project on episodes that are specific to U.S. youth soccer and, you know, the ECNL and the Development Academy. But we've also done a lot right. And so when you look at someone like Christian Pulisic, he was part of PA Classics that was a Development Academy connected club. He went to the Bradenton residency at IMG and was part of the U17 program. And those things have all been intentional. Now, I would argue maybe we've change things around too much and we keep tweaking, and maybe that's as much of a problem as anything, including pay to play, which is a problem. But you're absolutely right.
What a problem that'll never go away.
I think that's probably right. And, you know, whether or not we get better, it's still going to coexist with a massive business of youth soccer. But those are not accidents. Identifying talent earlier, getting it to a place where pathways are clear, that's been very intentional. You know, I had a whole episode with John Hackworth, who was the architect of the Development Academy that started in 2007, and then was the architect of Philadelphia Union's Academy, which is really the model that everyone's trying to emulate, both on the men's side and now even on the women's side in the NWSL. Not accidental, very intentional, and really important to how we've grown the game.
Kent Momros joining us, foundingfootball.com. By the way, I had Rob Moore, Christian Pulisic's agent, on a couple of years ago, and he said, if not for the move to Dortmund, Christian Pulisic would have been a USL player. And I found that a pretty stunning comment. But
we probably don't have enough time to unpack that. He's saying.
Yeah.
You know, the story with Christian, as you well know, is Haji Wright was the person being scouted. And you have to have a European team fall in love with the technical acumen and play speed of a player like Christian, who, you know, certainly was dominant, but is not the traditional U.S. archetype. And that's a whole different conversation for a different
day. Pretty dominant right now.
He's unbelievable, isn't he?
In the Nations League, as we're doing this interview a little bit before that on a Thursday. So the podcast culture, where does it go in the future? We know it's important now. How much more important will it become, since it's hard to carve out space and time on local news and nightly news and some of these other areas?
I think the podcast culture and all asynchronous media consumption is critical. We're all overscheduled, very busy. The ability for us to put on a podcast and get the type of content that we want, that is focused on a topic that we care about, is really critical to how we consume information. And the idea of keeping yourself company on a commute or when you have a quiet moment that you're doing chores around the house is critical. Now, listen, I've entered the space when it's unquestionably very crowded. And I think the key is we need more formats. Whether or not I've gotten it completely right as compared to other podcasts, I think you're going to see more and more storytellers, more long form, which is a bet that I'm making, and less that is just focused on headlines. I'm not going to compete with Tim Howard and Landon Donovan's new podcast as they talk about, you know, the headlines across the U.S. soccer world. People want to hear from them. At the same time, I don't think they want to do research to the level I have on something like the impact of the U.S. men's national team not making the 1980 Olympics and having Ty Keogh talk about, you know, how that created a different appetite and set of momentum and qualification for the next subsequent World Cup. That's just a different perspective. And I think revealing how much history there is and how these things all connect to each other is where we'll see the culture go, right? So that we can have more sophisticated analytical conversations about not just what's happening, but why things are happening.
You know what's amazing, Kent, as I'm listening to you here, every name you drop, now this probably is basically accents the fact that I'm older. Every name you dropped, I have had some interaction.
I believe it.
Like, I've done games with Ty, we've done NCAA, MLS on HDNet. You mentioned John Hackworth. I've called his games all the way back to the day he was at South Florida. I've interviewed Becky Sauerbrunn. It's incredible. And in some ways, there's some message being sent here. I don't know what it is. Maybe you know what it is, but it just shows you how the soccer culture is really intertwined, even though you and I generationally are of a different age.
Well, I think the message for you is you've been part of the soccer establishment long before it was in vogue. And I give a lot of credit to you and JP Della Cameron, people who saw that there was an opportunity and have been a voice of the game. It's so important. I think the message about someone like me who is not part of the soccer community is that people who love this game see how important it is to keep growing it. And when I go out and ask to have a conversation with Charlie Stilettano and say, this is what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to tell the story of the game in this country. They don't know me, but they say, you know what? That's a worthy cause. And listen, your podcast, we appreciate the stories you're telling, the connection you're making with people. And they've really embraced me. And I feel very grateful for that. And I totally, honestly, never expected to have the level of conversation that I've had. And that's pretty cool.
Well, I think you're making a tremendous impact. The timing of it is wonderful coming up to World Cup 2026. You're a well-read guy that really, I think you're doing some wonderful storytelling. It's foundingfootball.com. He's Kent Malmeros. You just heard him here right now. And based on the way you hear his delivery, you're going to enjoy his podcast, foundingfootball.com. Kent, thanks for, number one, having me on your podcast.
Oh, pleasure.
Because that makes me feel pretty darn good that you would think of me, but also thanks for coming on my show tonight here on the radio and then further in the podcast.
Appreciate you having me. Happy to come back anytime.
Super appreciative of being on. Thank you, Kent. That does it tonight for Soccer Matters here on ESPN 97.5. By the way, again, presenting sponsor John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. It's daspitlaw.com, 713-CALL-NOW. And again, a reminder that the sponsors of this show get Soccer Talk on the airwaves. So big shout out to them and also our great friends at Nico Nico's Greek and American Cafe. Three locations in Houston. You go up to the new location in the Woodlands, out to the Beltway and I-10. And then, of course, my favorite is the historic first Nico Nico's Greek and American Cafe in Montrose. For our producers and all involved with the show tonight, Brian McDonald, I'm Glenn Davis. Remember, soccer matters.
ESPN 97.5.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall.
No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Everything from clothing to household items are getting more expensive each day. The world of fast fashion has complicated clothing production by outsourcing around the world to whoever can sew them the cheapest. And now you, the consumer, are paying the price with rising costs. American Giant is about keeping things simple and close to home. They aren't affected by tariffs because their products never leave the U.S. So when you buy from American Giant, you're taking a stand for hardworking people, local communities, and quality clothes. American Giant directly supports American manufacturers and ensures you aren't footing that tariff bill. Support American-made, tariff-free clothing with American Giant with American Giant. Get 20% off your first order when you use promo code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off when you use code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com.